Hey everyone, and welcome back to But Why the Podcast, the podcast where me, Adrian, and Matt talk about the things in pop culture that people say matter and ask the question, but why though? Before we get started, we just wanted to tell you to head on over to all of our social media and get involved in our conversations. Check out our Twitter at ButWhyThoughPC and our Facebook, facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC. Also, we're Twitch affiliates now, so you can sub to us, watch a stream, get access to funny noises when we're playing. There's a whole bunch of stuff you can do. Come spend your nights with us while we play games at twitch.tv/ButWhyThoughPC. And while we're on that note, we are actually raising money for Stack Up, the military gaming charity that empowers veterans through the power of gaming. So if you have anything you can donate, donate it to them. Head on over to our Twitch channel and click on the Stack Up logo. Click that, it'll send you to the donation page, and you can help out a great cause and a great organization that we've covered in our Missions That Matter episode, which you can go back and listen to find out more. And as always, enjoy the show. Welcome back, and today we're talking about a hero shooter, Overwatch. Because, you know, heroes never die. As always, I'm your host, Kate, and I'm here with Adrian.
Hey, how's it going?
And Matt.
Hello.
And our awesome Overwatchy special guest, Ryan, from the Game Boys podcast and the Firekeepers.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Excited to talk about one of my favorite games.
Because you were, just to bring up a little background information, you can't talk about it on Game Boys anymore, right?
No. So this game's now 2 years old, and we've talked about it so much that we basically put a ban on it.
Wow.
Too much of my life has been in this game, yeah.
That's good. So I am not leading this because I am an Overwatch noob myself, so Adrian is going to be taking the reins.
Yay. I can't think of my favorite catchphrase. There's too many, but I was going to say something clever and come in. But it's too late. It's too late. It's gone.
So, I just realized last time that Sombra says, "Aw, pobrecita," when she kills people, and I want to play her now. It's so condescending.
So as we usually do, we'll start off with an intro question. Matt won't be able to participate since he hasn't played the game, but if he's seen character designs, I guess he can pick one and he can describe them, and we can see if we can see talk about the one that he's describing. But your favorite character to play with, or like, be it like you like playing them or you like their backstory or both.
Do you want me to pull up what they look like for you, Matt?
No.
No. Oh.
I'm here. I'm a cardboard cutout. Let me do this.
Okay, who's going first?
Let's go, Kate, since you're the newest.
Yeah, so I've been playing for about a month. I'm a solid D.Va main, but my favorite character based on backstory is actually Sombra. She has my favorite animated short, because she's, like, essentially this child of war, and she ends up being really good at hacking, and then she helps people, and then she realizes that she can actually support herself and make money doing that. And then her hacks get so advanced that she just pretty much breaks her system and then actually puts the system inside herself, which is really friggin' cool. So I really like Sombra, that, and I really love that she says, "Oh, pobrecita," when she kills somebody, because a Sombra killed me yesterday and that happened, and it burned.
She is maybe the most annoying character in the game.
A little bit.
Yeah, right up there with Tracer for sure.
But yeah, she is great.
What about you, Ryan?
Oh, for me, it is Zarya, the weightlifter from Russia. She is perfect. I found myself being forced into playing a bunch of tanks because I usually don't trust my team. And so it was either D.Va or Zarya. And if I'm having, like, a really good team that I can depend on, Zarya is 100% the way to go, because if you time it right, you can get powered up by the enemy, and then you can just unleash a huge beam of energy on them, and it's great.
Or if Kate steals D.Va first.
That too.
I like that. I like your reasoning for playing tank much better than Kate's.
Mine is because my team doesn't trust me.
Yeah. For me, I love playing with Mei. I think she's the character that I'm probably the best at. Just very versatile kind of character that you can kind of, you know, be on front lines or kind of you do the flanky stuff. And she's kind of really, really tough to kill once you, you know, get the walls and the ice blocks really
well. She has one of, like, the best stall games in the entire game.
Yeah, for sure. And her short is amazing. I love, love, love her short, because despite everything that she's been through, she's still kind of, like, cheery and stuff. But I think my favorite character backstory, I think, has to be Reinhard's, from, like, this kind of, like, cocky, you know, German guy to, like, this old, grizzled, kind of, like, grandpa of Overwatch, which is really, really great. So that's for me. Matt, you have any preferences?
No, I do not. Like I said, if you, as Adrian mentioned earlier, I have not played this game. I don't think I'll be playing anytime soon at this point. So, no, I do not have a favorite character.
Do you have a character that you think looks cool?
I probably couldn't even tell you what the characters look like.
You watch me stream all the time.
Yeah, I'm not really paying attention that much.
Thanks.
Well, I'm just going to say McCree, because you look like McCree a little bit.
I can see that.
I focus on your chat, not so much what you're actually doing.
Yeah, he's my mod.
That's good.
I will say this. It's really cool, too, because, like, I do like D.Va's backstory, but so much as, like, I guess what, like, her profession was a professional gamer, and then she decided, oh, well, I can transition this into being a mech pilot. And I was like, oh, shit, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So... to get into some of this, so we're going to go real quick through the production history and then kind of tell about, like, the world of Overwatch itself. It's kind of the one, but why, of one of the but why those, because I think it's one of my favorite reasons, one of the reasons why this is one of my favorite games to play currently is because of the way that they tell their story, and we're just going to make that a separate but why those. So we'll just talk about the production history and kind of some of the numbers and the accolades and all that fun stuff, so... As we mentioned at the start, Overwatch itself is a team-based first-person shooter. Think, you know, Team Fortress 2 and a whole bunch of other, like, small knockoffs that couldn't compete with Overwatch. Like, I can't even think of them off the top of my head, even though we were just talking about them. Yeah, stuff like that.
Battleborn, Paragon, there was a bunch of them.
Yeah, we tried Paladins.
Did play Paladins.
Like, yeah, then I was like, this is literally just Overwatch, but worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, down to the character designs, it is a terrible
down to the map design.
Yeah, it's not great. So, if you're not familiar with team-based shooters and things like that, so you essentially have different roles. In Overwatch specifically, you have offense, defense, tank, and support. When it was first announced back at BlizzCon way back when, about 4 years ago, it started out with 12 of the playable characters. And then we're now up to 27... I think it launched with 21, 20, something like that. I don't remember.
21 sounds right.
Yeah, yeah. But they first showed those first 12, and people were super, super excited about it straight from the get-go. And, of course, this is at the time of this recording, because they add characters in fairly frequently. So in a year from now, who knows how many characters that we're going to have. So in Overwatch specifically, we have different game modes as well. You have Capture the Point, some Escort, some Capture the Point / Mixed Escort thing. They have a whole arcade with different kinds of gaming modes, like Elimination, Team Deathmatch, Deathmatch, Capture the Flag, and then they always kind of rotate some other game modes in there that are usually pretty fun, and keep the game fairly interesting from time to time. So the game itself was developed by Blizzard Entertainment. You may know them. If you don't know who Blizzard is, what are you doing with your life? Why are you here?
Can we talk about one of those games? I played all those other ones.
So they've done games like World of Warcraft, Hearthstone, Diablo, Heroes of the Storm, StarCraft, a whole bunch of others. So basically the only realm that they weren't in was this kind of like team-based FPS system, and they've kind of like taken that over now, just like they've done in just about every other facet of high performance and high competitive gaming. So the game itself was in beta for about a year, year and a half or so, and released in May 24th, 2016, which may or may not be like the day this comes out. Day after. So when you're listening to this, the next day will be the two-year anniversary of Overwatch, and there should be an event going on. Go play it. It gives you like really cool skins and things like that. So it was released on all platforms, so Xbox One, PS4, and PC, after being announced in BlizzCon in 2014, like I mentioned. And it was a pretty much an instant success. Blizzard reported over $1 billion of revenue during its first year, and now has about 40 million players after the 2 years. If you go look at the ratings for the games, even back in 2016, they're all glowing and raving and pretty positive. All the ratings that I saw had either a 9-plus out of 10 or 90-plus out of 100 across various platforms, with the exception of PC, Gamer, and Polygon, which were at 88 out of 100 and 8 out of 10, respectively. So still pretty, pretty good for a game of this kind, considering that it's really the only one other than like Team Fortress 2 that kind of exists at the moment. And lots of game awards, way too many to kind of go through and mention, but a few of the ones that stood out are, of course, it was the Game of the Year in 2016. The Golden Joystick Awards in 2016 gave it its Best Original Game Award. It was the Esports Game of the Year in 2017 for South by Southwest Gaming, and the British Academy Game Awards in 2018 gave it its Best Evolving Game. I didn't know that one was even like an awards thing, but
what,
it's there.
The Evolving Game or the British Academy Games Awards?
I think both. I guess I'm never like,
because the Calvary's here. They had to give it for Tracer.
Yeah, right. I think she was like nominated in one of the categories for like best character or something like that. I don't think she won, but like she was still in that category for that too. And there's obviously they made so much money on merch. So much money on merch. Ask Kate. They made money off of Kate like the first day she played the game.
Yeah, they did. It's a giant pink mech. Like, it's pink and it's a mech. Yeah, I'm not gonna buy anything from that character. I have a whole bunch of Diva stuff now. Yeah. And people in our Discord, which you should totally join our Discord if you haven't already, they keep putting stuff in our Overwatch channel that I should buy, and Matt just stares at me.
Have you picked up the Funko Pop yet?
I haven't.
You do have one Funko Pop.
Which one? Oh, I have Lucio. Yeah, I have a Lucio Funko Pop that I got out of a dragon bag at a convention.
Very nice. Jelly.
But I hate it because he's an annoying character. And I had somebody last night just like running around in a circle inside one of the tubey thingies. Yeah, it's like this little room.
Thank you, listeners. You're now like fully educated.
Yeah, well, he's in like a little room, and his power is like one of his passes that he can like wall grab. And so he just circling a damn tube and shooting out. And I hated it. But I was junk rat, so I lit it up.
Yeah, so they made so much money on merch. I didn't even like think to go look at how much money they've made off of their merchandise, but like, go to any convention and you're going to see Diva leggings, you're going to see Tracer leggings, you're going to see plushies of Winston and Bastion. You're just going to see everything. So they made a lot of money.
They've made at least $80 off me, so.
And again, she's been playing the game for a month. Do you have any interesting merch from Overwatch, Ryan, given that it's one of your favorite games?
Tim's given me the Funko Pop for D.Va and then the Nendroid for Tracer. And outside of that, I don't really have any. I don't collect a bunch of merch from games.
Good boy.
I know. I just throw, you know, money at loot boxes like an idiot.
Ooh.
See, that was my next point.
Yeah. So I've spent no money on loot boxes. Kate, have you broken down and spent money on loot boxes yet?
I don't spend money on loot boxes yet. I'm going to.
Yet.
Oh, but you see, the anniversary event's coming out, and all of the skins from the past 2 years are going to be unlocked.
I know. The only reason I don't open loot boxes is because Blizzard didn't save my credit card from the Hearthstone card packs I bought before, so.
And you're lucky. You're still pretty low level, so, like, you're going to get boxes a whole bunch over this
period.
Not
as fast as I want them, Adrian. There's something so satisfying about opening the loot box
and
getting the skin.
At least, like, your skins you're going to have are going to have. My skins don't transfer over to PC, which I'm still super salty about. Blizzard,
come on,
man. Yeah, that's
one of the reasons I'm not playing
on
PC.
Blizzard.
You were playing on PC.
I know, but I hate it. I don't have any of my skins. Blizzard actually said they were thinking about trying to find a way to transfer over account data like that.
What do you mean by thinking? It's not hard.
Yeah, like, wouldn't you just sign in with your Battle.net and then bring it over?
You'd think it'd be that simple.
Yeah, you would think, especially since, like, your Battle.net transfers over and you get loot from, like, Hearthstone into your other games. So, like, why can't you just...
Apparently, it's much more difficult.
Yeah, I'm on the wall.
Oh, no, I have to unlock some skins for you on this other end.
Yeah, basically.
Or they just want your money.
Yeah.
That somebody, when we played Netherwinter and we bought $60 worth of loot boxes and you got nothing, they give you nothing.
But those
loot boxes do stuff for the game. These loot boxes are literally just skins and emotes. Like, they
Which
do
makes
nothing
it even
for
worse
gameplay.
That people buy them.
I know, that's why I'll never buy
you
them.
You stop judging me right now, Matt.
Nope.
I'm feeling
personally attacked right now.
I know, right?
I know.
I might buy one in honor of Ryan being on our episode for the anniversary edition.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Y'all
make your own money. If you want to spend your money on loot boxes, go for it. I wish I had disposable money to spend on loot boxes. If I did, I would spend so much money on loot boxes. But then my wife would just smack me because I bought a Tiger Neverwinter once, and I never going to live it down.
Nope.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, I look at the fact that I've paid probably about $30 for this game and put in 300 plus hours, and so if I'm going to throw them a little bit of money for a loot box, why not?
I just want cool
skins.
So
the real question is, if you paid $30 for it then and have 300 hours, why the hell can I not buy it for $30 right now?
Because it still has a player base on the rise, so there's no reason for them to drop their price.
And this is why you'll never get your skins.
I don't know how game prices work. Anyway, past the
merch. It does have to do with player base and demand.
Yeah.
So, like, we had... Do you remember that, like, really crappy game Brink that came out? That stuff dropped... When I worked at GameStop, it dropped to $34, like, overnight.
Yeah, I don't see Overwatch...
Game was so hyped.
I don't see Overwatch dropping anytime soon, especially since they just reported, like, 40 million players, which is I think the beta had, like, 9 million people on it or something like that. So, they're... Out of the gate, they had people ready to pay and ready to play.
I will say this, we should plan to do an Overwatch night the day this releases so people can come watch us on our Twitch channel.
Yeah, Ryan, you can get on there in the PC, buddy.
Yep.
I have it on PC. I'll play.
He's played more with me on the PC than you have, Adrian.
Yeah, Adrian.
Hey, in my defense, I told you to get this game 2 years ago, so...
Yeah, you did.
So, I don't know if you have it in the but why, though, so obviously we can cut this out depending on you do. Are we going to talk about the loot boxes and how, because of this, they might be banned in Europe because of gambling?
I don't have it in here, and I think it's, like, important, but I also think, like, banning them in Overwatch is dumb.
Mm-hmm. Well, we should talk about that. Because that's what they cited in their thing.
I think it's dumb that they do it in Overwatch 1, because, like, if people buy that, they're just... And they're spending, like, hundreds and hundreds of dollars on stuff that's not going to improve your gameplay. I don't understand it. It's the same thing for, like, CSGO. I don't understand why people pay hundreds and thousands of dollars for knife skins. Like, if they did this to, like, Neverwinter, where we were tempted to buy loot boxes and tempted to, like, go farm money for crates and keys because it improved our gameplay and we had the chance of getting, like, a super mount, then I guess I can understand. But for Overwatch, it doesn't make any sense to me personally.
Yeah, we had a whole episode about loot boxes on Game Boys. And Overwatch, I think, is one of our examples of loot boxes done right, because it isn't a pay-to-win system. It is purely cosmetic. And while it is kind of like gambling, gambling implies there's a chance you're going to lose, where when you buy a loot box on Overwatch, you're always guaranteed something. It might not be, you know, something that you've put at the highest value, but you're still getting something, and so it's not technically gambling. It is paying for items.
I mean, I feel like I lose every time I open one, and I don't have a D.Va skin yet, but that's cool.
But the thing about on it, Xbox, I mean, I'm getting 3 out of my 4 items are duplicates at this point. So, yeah.
And it all goes to into the coins. I know, like, they nerf, like, how much coin you get, but I have, like, the Xbox, I have, like, 2,000... like 500 or something like that coins, which is like 2.5 legendary skins, which if there was a skin that came out that I really wanted, I could just get it. And I haven't spent a dollar on loot boxes, because they do give you a whole bunch, especially when you're leveling up. You get one every time you level up. You can go to the arcade, get three a week. Like, there's so many ways to get loot boxes for free that I don't understand, like, why they banned it with citing Overwatch specifically. Maybe because it's, like, the biggest game that's, like, the biggest game that kind of has that. Maybe that's why. I don't know. But you should have went after, like, something like Star Wars Battlefront 2, which has definitely changed the way they've done their loot boxes, but, like, that's disaster. More of a... But that's more of, like, a, you know, a bad thing than Overwatch giving you a... not giving you a D.Va skin when you didn't pay for the loot box.
Yeah, no, I think Star Wars was the main one, but Overwatch was, like, in there.
So do you have any feelings on it? Do you have any feelings on it?
Oh, no, if you want to buy this, I have no sympathy for you. I'm not going
to control whether it's pay to win or...
I mean, I personally do not like loot boxes and or even the DLC type things that they do that are super small like this. Mm-hmm. And but as far as like at least Overwatch is, doesn't bother me because it is in-game currency that you can use to buy it and get them with the option to get them faster through your own real world currency.
Yeah, I agree with you, but then you see things like Fortnite making $1 billion in a month off of their loot boxes, and it's like, I get why companies are doing this.
Oh, I know why.
It's a huge way to get cash revenue. Like,
well, I mean, you can also look at like the PUBG stuff, like stuff you get from there, and then you can sell the individual items for real money. Like, I think one of the guys we played with was like, "Yeah, I sold a skirt for $200."
Yeah,
no, yeah, that's the CS:GO kind of like model of go like just go Google how much people buy like these knife skins for, and it just blows my mind. Again, I just wish I had that kind of money to blow money on a $200 skirt in PUBG that's not going to make me get knocked down faster.
Yeah, no, I get why they do it, and I know it makes a ton of money, and I know it's never going away, and it's probably only going to get worse. Just the same way downloadable content has done the same thing. It started off with horse armor, and now we're here.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to get much worse. I think Battlefront was a big red flag, and the community really rebelled against that, pun intended.
Yeah, the only problem I have with that is because, not that it's not them, people just don't like EA in general.
That's, yeah, true.
And so if there's ever a time that people are going to rebel, like people that didn't even play Battlefront are going to rebel just because, one, people still don't like EA, and they don't like that they bought the licensing to a lot of the Star Wars games in general.
Yeah. What's two? Because you said one.
Oh, I guess the two part would be the fact that they have the only license to all the Star Wars games that nobody else can make anything with.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess you just have to look like all the other things. Because like if you have a company that has as much like public support like Blizzard, and they did something about this, how quick would that turnaround be?
Yeah, super quick. And that's one of my but why those of like how fast Blizzard turns stuff around when there's kind of outcry from the fan base. So let's get into that. So we can start talking about some of the Overwatch stuff. I guess like real quick before we go into it, like the last thing that I had for kind of the production is that it got its own esport league pretty quickly. Currently there's 12 teams in it from primarily the US. There's I think like two teams in England and then one in South Korea and then one in China. So they're just kind of getting their league under its belt now.
I think if anything, you could probably make that as an argument that it's probably, at least the way it's portrayed in the U.S., it's the first like actual like esports like league, and not like just like tournaments and within their own realm where they use like gaming companies where it's actually cities involved.
Yeah, because like, we had like the Houston Outlaws, like they're at all the South Texas stuff.
That that's different than like Luminosity Gaming.
Yeah, has exactly. Yeah, here. You're right. Yeah. That's a good point. I didn't think about it like that. I know that like. It's just not as big yet. I hope it gets bigger. It's also super hard to watch.
It's Owl, right?
Yeah, exactly. Have you watched any of the Owl, Ryan?
I have watched like a match. My co-host Tim absolutely loves it, and he will put it on in the background while he's at work, and so he watches all of it. I love that each team got like their own set of skins, and then you can buy skins to support those teams, and you earn those credits just by like watching the Overwatch League. So it's this really good like economy of, hey, watch and support your teams, and then you can start dressing like them. I think it's cool.
I was gonna say too. I will say this: it's weird because I haven't watched any of the Overwatch League. I do like watching esports, but I hate watching people stream Overwatch.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't like it.
As someone who streams Overwatch, what do you like
Overwatch after the podcast today?
I know, and it's weird. Like, I don't get it. Like, I told Matt the other day, like, one of the streamers we were watching was playing Overwatch because he plays Overwatch a lot. I was like, I don't like watching it when he plays. He's like, what? I was like, I just don't.
I don't either. I usually do not like, I do not watch, I do not like watching Overwatch being streamed. I know there's quite a few streamers I've heard on their own stream saying they love Overwatch and they'll just play it off stream now because apparently a lot of people fall into that boat.
Hmm.
Where their streams will lose quite a bit of people because they just get bored watching. Apparently they love watching the league, but they won't like watching just the average person play.
I'm of the opinion I don't like watching any stream of a game that I'm like super into because at that point I'm just like, I would have done that differently. And then I'm like, that's not what the point of this is.
So you don't like watching any stream that I ever have?
I plead the fifth.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. Before Kate reaches to the screen to find Ryan, we'll move into some of the But Why Those. So as we go through this first But Why Though about the storytelling with basically without a campaign mode, I'm going to go through some of the world building and then some of the Easter eggs. So bear with me as I go some of this world building. It's kind of hard to condense. Like, you can go on YouTube and find a whole bunch of videos on...
I watched 2 hours of videos.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to condense it in, like, 10 minutes or so. And if I leave anything out, it's not because I didn't like want to put it in there. It's probably just because I didn't think it was relevant to, like, the whole world-building story. For some of the character stuff, I have a whole thing that we're going to talk about for, like, the diverse characters and kind of some of their backstories. So this world-building doesn't really have any of the character name things like that. So for the world-building, Overwatch tells its stories mainly through animated shorts, in-game events that have their own cutscenes, intro videos for new characters that kind of weave in their story with the story of other characters, a digital comic that they have, and basically other materials that they feel like are needed to kind of release throughout the time to kind of get the story across. So the quick version of the Overwatch story up until this point, more or less, at the time of this recording, is as follows. So the game is set... as you're playing the game, so as you're jumping in and playing right away, it's set about 60 years in the future on our Earth, but the history kind of starts more or less about 30 years in the future with the event called the Omnic Crisis. And essentially what happens is we're in the golden age of technology, and we create these things called Omnics, which are basically AI that help us bring this kind of prosperity and equality and all this stuff. And they're so advanced that they basically get their own rights, so kind of like iRobot a little bit with Sunny kind of becoming self-aware and things like that. The Omnic Corporation created factories all around the world that are run by AI. So they're basically everywhere. These Omnics are getting pumped out. But the corporation gets caught with fraud and all this other stuff, so they're basically shut down. And then sometime after, for some unknown reason that we don't really know and we're kind of speculating about now, the factories boot up and the AI decides that they want to start killing humans. So basically, think of it as like Elon Musk super factories come alive and then they go all Skynet. And they start creating new battle robots instead of like the regular robots that they had. And they start hacking the military giant robots that they have at this time, because apparently in the future, Russia has giant robots and the military has giant robots. So they all get hacked and we go into this big Omni crisis. With these factories all over the world, basically everywhere gets hit by this. So different parts of the world decide to combat the Omnics in their own ways. So Russia builds basically Jaegers from Pacific Rim to fight, and they do pretty well. They probably do the best out of all of us in combating it by themselves. The U.S. makes a super soldier program, kind of like a Captain America kind of thing, to have like the best soldiers possible. Germany makes a team called the Crusaders, who have like this dope armor that has like shields, and they carry around these big ass hammers, and they're German and they're dope. Reinhardt, one of my favorite characters, is one of them. They're dope.
And Korea has the mechas.
Yes, yeah. So
your baby Jaegers.
So basically, so since they're doing all these things to combat the Omnic Crisis, but basically none of it works. So the UN and the world leaders create Overwatch, which is essentially the Avengers, and they go, see, I'm trying to use, Matt's never played the game, so I'm trying to, like, give people like Matt, who's never played the games,
a reference point. I just realized I want this, but Avengers. Like, actual, like, team play Avengers style.
Yeah. You get some of that, some of the events kind of give
so
that to you.
Cool. Like, having a team, okay, I will, yeah. Somebody make that game, please.
Keep going.
It'd be so cool.
So basically, they work together. They kind of do like these covert ops, and they shut down all the factories. And the war end, or the Omni Crisis ends. And essentially, after the war, there's a bunch of fallout. So some places get off better than others. So places like India are able to kind of rebuild and kind of build the, not like a utopia, but like they're able to build up and do really well. But places like Australia, who have like a huge Omnic population, the Australian government displaces the Omnics into like this outer part of Australia, and it displaces a bunch of people, which leads to a rebellion. And during that midst of that rebellion, there's an explosion, and it leaves a lot of the area kind of like Fallout 4-ish a little bit. And that's how we get, you know, Roadhog and Junkrat from
That's actually really cool. Or, I mean, not really cool, but like parallels. It's not cool because, like, you know, you're, like, shoving people into, I guess, like, AI or whatever. But, like, that's, just, like, Australia is, like, known for having treated their indigenous aboriginal population really badly, including displacement of them. So
Talking about Australia or America here?
Both.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like, okay.
Both.
And then Brazil gets pretty wrecked, like, through the bombings during the Omnic Crisis, and they're struggling to recover. Mexico's power grid is basically gone, which leads to a lot of, like, gang activity, and basically this whole country kind of literally being in darkness for a lot of the time, which leads to a lot of, like, gang syndicates and things like that. But with the help of Overwatch and kind of other world leaders, they're able to, like, lead the world into this new age of, like, recovery. New members join the team. There's new technologies. It's like a refocus back on technology, so we're back on the moon, you know, doing experiments on apes and stuff, and all that cool stuff. So, but also, like, during this time period, it also gives rise to, like, lots of corporations and agencies that aren't, like, super legit, and they start wanting to have Overwatch, like, not be a thing anymore, so they kind of try to take it out from within. So basically what happens is, like, rumors get started about Overwatch's Black Ops group called Blackwatch, that they're corrupt and they're doing gun running and things like that. And the bad part is, like, more or less, like, some of it's true, and because of this, the public, like, loses it and doesn't trust the Overwatch anymore. So during, like, kind of, like, all this infighting, there's a fight between two Overwatch members, Soldier 76 and what we know now as Reaper. They're fighting. It leads to an explosion at the Swiss HQ, and the UN is basically like, nah, no more Overwatch, we're done. And they sign an act which basically makes Overwatch activity illegal. After Overwatch is basically deemed not cool and no one can do it no more, tensions between the Omnics and humans grow again. Some just because, like, there's, like, some xenophobia and stuff, like, reminiscent, and they don't want to, you know, trust the Omnics anymore. Other stuff of it is kind of, like, done by these corporations kind of instilling and kind of pushing that agenda. There's shady corporations going on, double dealings and things like that. And because there's no Overwatch to stop it, it keeps on going and building and building and building. So basically, you start the game with, like, that first kind of intro video with Winston sitting there at his table is kind of the start of one of his shorts where he's kind of, like, saying, like, hey, the world's crazy. We need to get the Overwatch people back because, like, this ain't cool anymore. So he summons the Overwatch people, and there's a group called Talon who's trying to kill the remaining members of the Overwatch. And basically Overwatch is, or Winston just says, screw it, and other members of the Overwatch say, screw it, and they all come back to kind of bring balance back to the world, and that's kind of where we are in the game right now. How was that?
That was great, and we bring balance by moving the payload.
You're right. You're right. Don't play snipers on attack.
Isn't, I heard somewhere, I don't remember who said it, I heard somewhere that essentially, like, the way we play and, like, the reason for not having a campaign is that we're essentially in a simulation of, like, fighting, like the general campaign. Like, it's a simulator for, like, Overwatch people or whoever to use to fight, and that's why, like, you can put, like, your talent members onto your team with your Overwatch members.
That would make sense. I don't remember reading that, but, you know, that was a long time ago, so.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
I heard it from a guy who, I think it was one of the dudes that's, like, a walking encyclopedia. And, like, I asked because I was confused.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, honestly, Reaper and Soldier should never be on the same team again.
Yeah, like, a lot of these people shouldn't be on the same team again. Like, Tracer should not be on the same team as Widowmaker for sure. Like,
or Doomfist.
Yeah, Doomfist should be on anyone's team other than Talon people. That guy's a dick. but yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They haven't told us. We kind of just keep playing and wait for new events to come out, or new comics, or new shorts to come out, to keep learning more and more about the world. So, like, if you go back and, like, look at a video that kind of covers all this stuff from 2016 or, like, early 2017, a lot of this stuff is not necessarily wrong, but, like, the stuff has been added and changed. So I don't know if, like, Blizzard has, like, this grand, like, master grand plan of, like, what they're doing with, like, the story, or if they're just, like, kind of messing with it and just going along with it as they go. But either way, I'm involved in it. I'm intrigued in it. I love when the shorts come out because they are phenomenal. I like when new characters come out because they kind of add more to the backstory. So I'm all about the way that they do the storytelling, and I can't think of anything that kind of gives you that kind of experience in a video game, and where I'm not like, oh, I wish there was a campaign, because I'm fine with there not being a campaign, because I'm just waiting for the next event to come out to kind of keep me involved and intrigued throughout, you know, the time.
I mean, those shorts are absolutely incredible. We all want a, like, actual animated series at this point, because Blizzard is knocking it out of the park.
And they proved that they can do it in any style. Like, all of these, like, run, like, from, what is it, Motion Comics with the Junkrat Spotlight, where he's on the news. Mm-hmm. That's a Motion Comics style. You have, like, the regular 3D rendering. You have art that, like, literally looks like the game art. You have, like, it's really cool. Like, they can do it in any way. Just do it. Please.
Yeah. I don't know if you've experienced this. Oh, yeah, you've only been playing for a month. But, like, sometimes they'll do events like the King's Row event, which is, like, a huge, huge battle that happens after the Omnicrisis, which is kind of like an uprising of something that, like, basically, like, a precursor to, like, a second Omnicrisis. And you basically go in there and you play as, like, the Overwatch members who got sent to that fight. So you get to see, like, why the King's Row looks the way it does. So you get stuff like that all the time.
That's cool.
Which is pretty fun. So they also tell the story through Easter eggs. So if you go through and you just, I mean, it's really hard to kind of do this because your team will yell at you if you just kind of, like, go around and, like, look at walls and stuff. But if you go, like, look around and look at the walls, or if you're in, like, the pregame on an escort mission, you can go look and see all of the different kind of story elements that happen inside of the shorts. So, like, if you're in, I can't remember the name of the map off the top of my head, but, like, where Genji is from, like, you get where the Genji and Hanzo short is, you can see, like, there's arrows and, like, there's throwing stars in the map from basically that fight that happens, and things along that along those lines. You can go find, like, Genji's room where he hangs out and stuff, and we can see, like, a picture of him and Hanzo together. So, like, just little things like that kind of give you more and more depth into the game just by just being in the map. One of my favorite things is the in-game voice interactions between characters that you kind of get either, like, when you kill an opposing character or, like, in the pregame. I don't know if you've heard these kind of interactions, Kate, of, like, Soldier 76 and Reaper are basically, like, talking trash to each other, like, you know, when are you going to die, kind of stuff, like, and things like that, which not only kind of gives you insight into kind of, like, Soldier 76 and Reaper fighting, you know, in that one event, but it also gives you things of, like, oh, these characters might have been, like, romantically involved before, like, the world basically was annihilated.
One of my favorite instances of this is if you have Reaper and McCree on the same team attacking on Route 66, Reaper's going to talk about how he recruited McCree into Blackwatch. And so it's like you get these little tidbits of these characters' histories before the game that you wouldn't normally get otherwise unless you looked for it outside of the game. And it's one of these cool instances of them just tying the world all together.
Yeah. Have you heard any of those, Kate, that you like? Or
No. I mean, I've heard the Reaper and the Soldier 76. I think I've heard one between Sombra and Reaper. And then I've heard one between Tracer and Widow.
Yeah. Yeah, that stills are definitely all sound like ones that would have interactions for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and of course, Blizzard being Blizzard, they're going to put lots of references kind of pop culturally and just like references of their own game, because we are, you know, in our world. So you can see in one of the maps, there's like an arcade in there, and you can go and like look at, like, there's a Hearthstone arcade machine. There's like references to Diablo. They put in Blizzard World in one of their maps now. So they're pretty big on like referencing their own games. But there's also lots of pop culture references in the voice lines and like the map details. From like posters and things like that, so they do a really great job of that.
I mean, even the character skins at this point are referencing some culture.
Like, do you have a favorite one? The Sentai, the Genji Sentai.
That one jumps out at me as being like, oh, this is clearly referencing, you know, Voltron and Power Rangers.
Super Sentai.
Yep,
it's a great skin. I will say too, like the one or like what I really like, I think it's the moon map with Winston's, and you're at the computer, and you can see Hearthstone on the computers.
Yeah, and you can see his peanut butter jars that he was eating in the short. Ah, stuff like that. I love it. So, talking about Winston, we'll move into some of the character designs and kind of like why they're important. I think, so as we said, so Overwatch now, at this time of this recording, has 27 characters. Like I said, originally, you know, announced with 12. Launched with 21, now we're at 27, so they've have as you would imagine, they have like lots of room for different kinds of characters. I think Blizzard's done a great job of including, you know, race, gender, sexual orientation, interracial relationships and body type into their game. I think it's one of the best. I can't really think of any game off the top of my head that kind of has like this diverse cast of characters. I think League of Legends might come close, but I don't think League of Legends has close to like the not only body type representation, but like basically everything else. Like, they have great stuff, but I think Overwatch kind of overtakes them in that regard.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It was like, it's like if you listen to the show, like we always talk, like we'll talk about representation when it comes up, and like representation is something that's like really like specifically like as like being a woman in games, like it sucks sometimes. But in Overwatch, there's literally somebody for everybody, and like specifically the body type stuff, Adrian. That was amazing. Like, actually seeing that. Zarya is buff, and she is awesome. And, like, you don't really...
She's
like,
perfect.
You don't get to see those types of female characters in games.
Yeah, how many Mays have you seen at conventions that knock it out of the park, that are, like, perfect Mays that might not have that kind of body type to, like, look for in other games? I think it's great. We saw this Roadhog, who was perfect. This big, like, 6'5" big dude at PAX East. Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Yeah, like, it just, like, there's so much for, like, cosplaying stuff. And obviously, like, saying that, like, it's with the caveat, like, you don't have to cosplay something that is just your body type or your race or your gender, obviously. But it's good to have that option, because those characters' clothes are going to be closer made for your body. And it, like, it'll help you feel, like, more comfortable and stuff. But, like, just, I was just amazed by the sheer, not just the diversity, but the research that went in to making these culturally accurate for the characters. Like, actually doing the work to put the right types of backgrounds, the right types of dialects.
Yeah.
Because, like, I have feelings about Farrah and Anna, which are, like, really cool because of their short. So when we get to them, I'll drop that.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's one of the nice things about Overwatch, where Lawbreakers, which just, you know, didn't find an audience either, it had a bunch of diversity, but they didn't put a bunch of thought into it. And so you had maps with a bunch of, you know, Japanese lettering that didn't actually say anything because they didn't put in the research. And so what you got was more of a, you're trying to, like, represent my culture, but you're actually just insulting it.
You got checkboxes?
Come on, did you actually say Lawbreakers? People played that?
Yeah. I played that at E3 last year.
It was around for like a month.
It didn't make a month.
Yeah, it was.
It made about a week and a half.
It was only $30, and it still could not find the audience.
And I also think, too, there was that other one. What was that other one that we saw at TwitchCon? That other game that we saw at TwitchCon?
Breakaway, that also
Breakaway, yeah. That was a diverse cast as well, but they were literally like characters from other... One, some of the characters look like the ones from Overwatch. Two, one of them looked exactly like Django in his suit from Django Unchained. So, like, I think that there's... listening and learning goes a long way in doing representation well. Like, obviously not every game has to do that, but if you're not going to put in a campaign, like, this is a really cool way to, like, ground your characters in something and, like, make sure that they're well done.
I totally agree. And they all, like we've mentioned kind of throughout up to this point, that each of these characters have their own stories and their own relationships, and their stories and the relationship with their characters kind of reflects their gameplay, making each character feel unique in the way you play them, and no character kind of feels like another, regardless of like if one of them are brother, like if two of them are brothers, or if one's like a mother and a daughter, they're still completely different and have their own type of feel. So we have 27 to go through, and I just wanted to name them and kind of talk about kind of like why they're diverse and things like that. If one jumps out to you that you really, really like and you want to talk about like your backstory, feel free to jump in. And we'll break it down by their specific roles. So for offensive characters, you have Doomfist, who is, he's one of the newer characters. He's this Nigerian guy, used to be MMA fighter or boxer. I don't remember which one it is, but he has this huge mechanical arm, and he's kind of a jerk. Aligns himself with Talon, that organization that's like out to kill all the Overwatch members.
Yeah,
I believe he's now the leader of Talon.
He's one of the heads for sure.
And then it's also, so Doomfist isn't actually his name. It's the name of his arm.
Yeah, he's like,
and so like we don't have
it's the gauntlet, and everyone gets that gauntlet, inherits the name.
Look, okay.
So I think he's like the third or fourth.
Yeah, he's the third Doomfist. Note here, all these people have like different names, and I can't pronounce them. So I'm just gonna go with their Overwatch names, unless y'all want to pronounce their names, and then go for it. Because I can't pronounce half of their names without feeling terrible. So I'm just gonna go with the Overwatch names that they give you, because a lot of them do have really cool names. So then we have Genji, who we've mentioned just recently. He's a Japanese cyborg ninja, which just by definition sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
He's Hanzo's brother, and he's a former agent of Blackwatch, the Black Ops organization of Overwatch. And by kind of like voice lines, it's implied that he might have a relationship with Mercy. Mercy is the one who saved him once he got in his fight with Hanzo. So they have like this like chocolate line, like where they like offer each other chocolates, and it's kind of cute. You have
I was gonna say on Genji, the really cool thing that I liked about Genji was that his move is essentially that block move has killed me more times than I think his actual like anything else has killed me.
That doesn't surprise me at all, Kate.
He essentially makes really you doesn't. Kill yourself.
It's a deflect. Nope. You're supposed to stop shooting.
No, I
Kate
D.Va.
Plays D.Va. She has unlimited
ammo. I never stop
this
shooting.
This is true.
So then you have McCree, who is a white American gunslinger from Santa Fe. He is a former gang member, and he got recruited into Blackwatch. They basically said, either you join Blackwatch or we're going to put you in jail. And he's voiced by Matthew Mercer. If you remember from our D&D episode, he is the DM and kind of creator of that world for Critical Role. So as you can imagine, his voice lines are great. Then you have Farrah, who is one of the characters I played with the most when it first came out, because she's a Egyptian security officer. When they first came out with her, just like a quick note, people gave them a lot of slack for her Native American skin that they have, but the developer said that she initially was going to be Native American and Egyptian, to kind of explain that, just in case anyone was like, well, that Native American skin is bad, but I really like it. It looks really cool. She's basically a security
officer.
They also
don't have her in a giant feather headdress either. Like, they just use iconography, really, which they do with other cultures from the other stuff.
You also don't know who her father is, so I mean,
she still could be. We don't know. So, and she has a jetpack and some armor and a rocket for an arm kind of thing. She's kind of like Samus a little bit. If Samus could like fly around and shoot stuff. And she is the daughter of Anna, who we'll get to later.
Yeah, so I do want to say something here, because...
Did you raise your hand?
I did, because I didn't want to talk over Adrian.
It's okay.
I'm trying to get better at this.
Hey, no, it was great.
So, like, her real name is Fadiha, and that's a common Arab name. And on top of that, in the short between... It's Anna talking to her daughter and explaining kind of, like, Anna's life and how she doesn't want... Fadiha to go through this, but obviously she becomes Pharaoh, which is her code name. But they show Arabic being written because she's writing in a letter, and I watched that shit closely, and it was accurate. So I was like, that was like the first moment I was like, damn, this is really cool.
Good job, Blizzard. Good job.
Yeah.
Then you have Reaper, who's probably like another one of my favorite characters. He's a Hispanic mercenary from L.A., and he was in the Super Soldier program. He's a founding member of Overwatch. He was in Black. He was chosen to head the Black Watch, Black Ops group, but now he's with Talon, and they might have like a possible relationship with Widowmaker based on voice interactions, but we're not super sure.
So is he just like generic Latino, or is he like Chicano or anything? Like, do they go into that?
I'm not sure. He's brown, and they say he's from L.A.
I would assume his Chicano.
Last name is Reyes. So
I would assume really Chicano sure. From yeah. L.A. Apologies to anybody who is a Mexican American in L.A.
Let's see, who do we have next? Okay, then we have Soldier 76, who is a white American soldier. He's also a super soldier from the super soldier program that we mentioned earlier, and he's a founding member of Overwatch and basically the leader of Overwatch after the Omni Crisis.
And he's an old dude. That's the other thing. We didn't mention that. They have differing like ages of all these people too.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah. When he first founded Overwatch, like you have one of his skins as Captain Morrison, and you know, he's in his prime, but by the time you get to the game, he is significantly
he's
older.
He's old and his short in Mexico is really cool.
It really, really is. Then you have Sombra, who's a Mexican hacker who Kate talked about at the beginning of our episode. She's one of the former, like we talked about, there's lots of gang activity. She was one of the hackers for that gang organization. But now she's kind of sort of with Talon. Her short kind of like makes you seem that she's kind of like just in it for herself and really don't know like what she's about really or like what she wants to do too much. So I'm trying to see where they go with her. But she's really dope and hacks stuff, and she's super annoying to play against. And her skins are really dope. I really like her skins. Yeah.
Also, just to explain her hack, you're playing a game and then you can't use any of your abilities.
Yeah. An ability-based game where you can't use any of your abilities.
Yep. And then you have...
It's called a silence.
I love playing her, though.
That's called a silence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a silence.
But the hack sounds cooler.
I think Ryan's face is frozen because I can't tell whether he's like looking at me like, what the fuck are you talking about? Or
Their internet is really bad, and I don't know why, because both of them are
okay,
like,
there we go.
Really glitchy.
So then you have Tracer, who's probably like, I want to say probably like the poster child of Overwatch. She's like the
She's on the covers.
She's like the first one designed. It's the one that you probably see cosplayed probably the most, I would say. She's a British pilot who was... Long story short, she a test flight went wrong, and then basically, like, she kind of like flows in between time and stuff. And then Winston creates her chrono accelerator that kind of lets her jump in between time and kind of go backwards and forwards. She's a member of Overwatch, and she is confirmed gay by the comics and kind of some voice lines and stuff like that. So she is our, I think, well, as far as we know, our only gay character in Overwatch currently. So we'll move on to the defense characters. We have Bastion, who is a former combat robot from the Omni Crisis. He basically like went out of commission, but now he's a good guy. And his short is like out of control.
It's so adorable sad and sad and happy, and he needs like his droid noises.
Yeah.
Doesn't make so me hate good. This character any less.
They're yeah. so good.
Come on,
though.
Man. How many times is he gonna get nerfed for you to like him? Come on.
He just wants to love things.
A few more times.
He just wants to love things and be a home for birds.
One of the things I love about Overwatch is they've been constantly balancing this. So when the game was originally demoed, Bastion, when he was in his like turret mode, had basically a Reinhardt shield in front of him. Yeah, he was a monster before, and they have been slowly nerfing him down to being
a slight
like,
monster.
All right, now he's in a... good spot.
Oh, yeah. Just jump on an escort mission, hop on the thing, and have a...
Orisa put the shield down in front of him.
Yeah, but before Orisa, like, just have a Reinhardt just sit in front of you, and it was just not even fair.
Yeah.
So
That, you added Torbjorn on top of it. Yeah. Oh, it was messed up.
So then move on to Hanzo, who is a Japanese archer who is Genji's brother. And his affiliation was to his family's Japanese crime syndicate. From like the voice interactions that we get the sense that people like Doomfist try to recruit Hanzo, or definitely did try to recruit Hanzo into Talon, but he was like, "Nah, I don't want to do that. I'm going to find my own path." Is basically essentially what he says to Doomfist into one of his lines. Their short is also really great.
It's so good. It's so, so good, because he like I didn't know anything about any of these characters, but I didn't care about them. And then I watched that short, and you get to see like the depth between like their bond, but also the fact that like Hanzo puts his family above everything else and thought he killed his brother to protect his family. And it's just like, damn, this is deep. Give me a damn show.
Then you have Junkrat, the crazy Australian scavenger who shoots bombs and stuff. He's nuts. He's a former member of kind of like the rebellion in Australia when everybody got displaced. And he had like his crime spree with Roadhog, who we'll mention a little bit later on. You have Mei, who is a Chinese scientist and a member of Overwatch. Her story is kind of sad because she kind of got cryo-frozen for like 10 years and then woke up and all of her friends were dead and then had to like... trek her way out of a blizzard, basically, and she did it, and she's dope, and she has like a little Eva basically from Wall-E as her
Snowball.
Homie. Snowball is awesome.
I got really sad in that short when Snowball like pretty much gave his life to make sure that she was able to make her a little frozen again. I was like, no,
basically bring tissues to these shorts.
That was right in the feels.
You have Torbjorn, who is a Swedish engineer and a founding member of Overwatch. He makes lots of stuff, and he has kind of like, if I can attribute him to anything, he's kind of like a dwarf in like Lord of the Rings or something. He has like that big beard, and he has, you know, the lines of kind of like, we're gonna go have some fun today beating stuff up, and I like it. He's also one of my favorite characters to play.
So is Reinhardt Swedish or German?
He's German.
Okay.
Yeah.
Torbjorn is Swedish.
Widowmaker, who's a French sniper and a member of Talon. Her story's pretty jacked up, too. Basically, like, Talon basically, like, mind messed her up, and, like, she killed her husband in her sleep, and it's really messed up, but still pretty...
My favorite detail about this is that Widowmaker is a sniper, and so Talon wanted her to be better at it. And so they pretty much injected her with something that slows her heartbeat to the point where it beats like once a minute something so that she can aim better. And that's why her skin is the color that it is because her blood's just not flowing that fast.
Holy shit, that's cool.
Yeah, and that's why in that short with Tracer she's talking about, she really has like no feelings or anything because like they basically got all that stuff out of her through all of those experiments and stuff.
No, they think that she has no feelings.
Yeah, you're right. Then you have D.Va, who is a South Korean mecha pilot and a member of Overwatch and a former pro StarCraft player, which I think is a great thing that they just kind of threw in there. Then you have Orisa, who, like Bastion, was a basically repurposed Omnic, and her kind of story is basically like this. One of these Nigerian girls who saw Doomfist do all this damage went back and kind of repurposed her and kind of made her be good and do all this great stuff. That's another great story, too.
It's so cute.
Yeah, super cute. Then you have Reinhardt, who is a German soldier, a former crusader, and then by association, a former founding member of Overwatch because kind of like his mentor kind of went out on his shield and said, hey, take my place, please. And his relationship, he might have a relationship with Anna, one of the characters we'll talk about later, but he's the godfather of Brigitte and gave Brigitte her name. So that's why, like, their relationship is kind of why people think that, you know, interchangeably.
So I think her name is Brigitte. Or, like, that's how you pronounce it. But,
like... Looks like Bridget.
Yeah, I was like, I think half the people play with say Bridget. But, like...
I say Brigitte because I know it's not Bridget, so I'm just going to go with that's close enough. Because I don't know what the exact pronunciation is.
Yeah, but I'm
I
just pretty know sure it's like Brigitte. Swedish.
And then you have Roadhog, who I mentioned before, is another Australian, and he essentially serves as Junkrat's bodyguard and then like his kind of like right-hand man and all the crime sprees that they go on. You have Winston, who's a genetically modified, like, super smart gorilla, He's another member of Overwatch and is super close with Tracer because, as I mentioned before, he makes her Chrono Accelerator. His story is also pretty sad. Like, he was on the moon in this station, and then, like, the gorillas rebelled and killed all of his, like, scientist friends, and he was kind of, like, left to kind of make a spaceship himself and go back to Earth. You have Zyra, the Russian...
Not his scientist friends, his scientist dad.
Yeah, his scientist dad, you're right.
Yeah, they're dead now. Dead.
They got sucked out of an airlock. You have Zyra, who's the Russian powerlifter and soldier, and she was on the front lines during the Omnic crisis in Siberia. She's pretty boss.
And she's perfect.
Then you have the support characters, not necessarily healers, but kind of healers. I don't know. Brigitte makes this like a really weird kind of category because she's stupid.
Yeah, this...
She's stupid. She's started damaged. Off. She's a tank. She's a healer. She's invulnerable from pretty much the front.
Yeah. You have Ana, who's...
When Overwatch launched, there was, like, only 4 support healers, and now there are 7. And so, like, that category has just expanded, and there's a lot more options now. And honestly, I like them all.
Yeah. I like them all except for Ana. I can't play Ana. I'm not very good at her. So you have Ana, who's the Egyptian sniper, mom to Pharah, and maybe Reinhardt's kind of, you know, they might have been getting it on during the Overwatch days. She's a founding member of Overwatch. She actually, like, for her story, she kind of, during one of her missions, she basically gets her eye. Why she doesn't have one of her eyes is because her and Widowmaker were, like, shooting each other, and she froze, and Widowmaker shot her basically, like, in her eyeball. And she pretended that she was dead for so long. So when she got reintroduced, all of, like, her voice lines with her are like, "We thought you were dead. I thought you were dead," kind of stuff. Then you have Bridget, whatever y'all want to call it.
I like how they're spelled 2 different ways in the notes.
Yeah.
Hey, it didn't. Hey, it didn't correct me, so I just left it. Yeah, she's a Swedish engineer, daughter of Torbjorn, and goddaughter to Reinhardt. So as you would imagine, she has the basically like some of the tech from Torbjorn and then like the armor stuff of Reinhardt, making her super annoying and ridiculous to play against.
And she's buff! And it's so cool!
And her shirt in the short is the best thing ever, which is, I exercise because I love to eat.
Then you have Lucio, who is a Brazilian freedom fighter. Basically, during Brazil was doing like some sketchy stuff during the Omni Crisis and after the Omni Crisis, so he led a rebellion to kind of fight against that. And basically, after the rebellion, he got so popular that his like album went platinum and all this stuff. So like some of like the voice lines with him are like, "Oh, can I have your autograph, Lucio?" and things like that.
I do want to point here just on, like, representation front. Like, it's really cool that you don't have just one representation of what it means to be Latinx. Like, he's Afro-Latino.
Yeah.
And so that's really, really cool. Because that's something that gets left out a lot.
Then you have Mercy. She's a Swiss field medic, member of Overwatch. Saved Genji and Reaper and might be getting it on with Genji. We're not sure. The chocolate line makes me think so, for sure. Because I don't talk like that.
It sounds so bad.
Listen to the chocolate line. It's definitely there. You have Moira.
She also might be immortal.
Yeah.
Like, she hasn't aged in over 30 years.
Yeah, she's dope. You have Moira, who's a Irish geneticist and one of the head members of Talon. She does some really sketchy stuff. But she's also, like, one of my favorite players to play with now from, like, this new line of characters. She's super cool. She heals and she does damage. It's ridiculous.
I think you would like her story because she actually talks about, like, the limits that people put on science and how that led her to experiment on herself because she wanted to progress and Overwatch kept her from doing that. And then essentially she ends up being kicked out of Overwatch because she wants to start doing trials of her tech and her science and they won't let her.
Have you not watched any show with an evil scientist where they always experiment on themselves?
Yeah.
That's why.
But she's not evil. She's not evil. Maybe she's evil. I don't know.
She's a member of Talon.
None of them ever start out as evil.
I think she was evil from the bat, though. She wanted to do like those experiments off the bat. So from there, we go on to Symmetra, who is an Indian architect. She's not a member of Overwatch or Talon, but she led one of the Fishkar corporations in India. One of the what kind of like led the kind of building, not like a utopia, but basically helping everyone who's displaced after the Omni crisis kind of get back on their feet. But then she ends up doing like some sketchy stuff, like where she kind of gets caught doing some extortion and things like that. So she's not necessarily good or necessarily bad. She's kind of like in that gray area.
I've heard that she's also autistic.
That I'm not sure. I didn't see anything like that when I was reading, but I wouldn't
heard it
put
was
it past.
In the comic, I think.
Maybe. Yeah, it might be from one of the comments. Do you know anything about that, Ryan, or no?
No, I don't.
Cool. Probably is. Who knows? They do a lot of representation, so I wouldn't put it past them to make sure that they made that apparent in that comic. And then you have Zenyatta, who is an Omnic monk, who is a wanderer, not necessarily like on anyone's team or whatever, but he just kind of like pushes peace and tranquility and making sure that there's like balance and everyone's just not being so mean to each other.
After Genji was pretty much killed, he trained Genji and sort of, you know, finding his center again. So he's the teacher of Genji, which is pretty cool, which is why Genji has his room in Nepal.
Yeah. There we go. See, that's why you're here, Ryan. Yeah, so that's all 27 characters. Do any of those characters stand out to you at all, Matt?
Nope.
Oh.
Now,
breaking my heart.
I guess the problem I have is not really necessarily a problem, but like for the game type that we're looking for, as much as I like all these like background stories and everything else, the basis of this whole game is it's a shooter game. We can literally be all robots, and you can put them all like in Call of Duty, and all of us the same, and just give different abilities. And to me, there's really no difference.
But that's what helps Overwatch stand out, is people can get attached to
the characters. Yeah, no, I mean, I understand the plea of it, but for me, like, standpoint of the game type, it just, that does not stand out as much. Like, we took this and we were going to do it into more of a world, or we actually got to, like, a campaign, like you said, where we're actually in the fighting or in the Omnic Wars or something, then that would be amazing to play and understand all the characters. But from the standpoint of, like, basically, as I think Kate mentioned, there might be just in a simulator going back and forth of what would happen. Yeah. Unfortunately.
That makes sense. Well, I didn't expect I didn't expect anywhere near the depth of this. I was blown away by it.
No, it's a great, fantastic job they do with everything, but like I said, to me, for the game that it is,
I mean, I think essentially like what we just kind of went through with these 27 characters is why, well, one, it's Blizzard, and then two, I don't think Paladins did near this much kind of fleshing out of their characters other than like you reading something and like the character pick screen, really.
You couldn't even figure out the character's abilities and powers at the time.
Accurate.
To kind of go along with something Ryan mentioned earlier is that Blizzard is constantly kind of changing this game. They're always pretty forthright with what they're changing, whether it be something that is brought up by the community of something that's wrong, or if a character's like overpowered, or if, you know, they're adding a new stuff. They're always pretty transparent and always have some kind of videos supplementing what the changes that are being made. So in the early development, like before the game was even released, like when it was like in like beta, and when it like was initially announced at BlizzCon, it got a lot of flack because when it came out, it only had those 12 characters, and people complained that there was a lack of representation and kind of an over-sexualization of women for those OG characters. And if I remember right, so you have Tracer, Symmetra, Pharah, Hanzo, Reaper, Winston, Torbjorn, Bastion, Mercy, Widowmaker, Zenyatta, Reinhardt were the first original 12. So I guess like there is some, like, I mean, like there's some, it's like it was their main problem was that they were just like females and like skin tight things. But the problem with that is that like they hadn't even finished announcing the characters all the way through yet. So we'll get to kind of like how they rectified that here in a second. But other issues that were brought up were Tracer's victory pose, like where she turned around and like showed her butt. People didn't like that one. In the closed beta, there was like an outhouse in Route 66 that had like a magazine of like Symmetra fully clothed in like an outhouse, kind of, I guess, insinuating that like the Australian kind of rebellion group were like doing inappropriate things in the outhouse, the pictures of Symmetra. And porn was almost like immediately made about Overwatch.
Yeah, I was gonna say, can I speak like at least on like the over sexualization stuff? I'm looking at a picture of the original launch heroes and stuff like that. And like there's a lot of diversity here. And on top of that, there are different types of women. Like, you only have the smaller women, but, like, there's one in full frickin' armor. Like, yeah, there's one in, like, a, you know, V-cut or, like, you know, deep V. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just exhausted at this point, but, like, I think, at least, like, just looking at their stuff, like, I just don't think that, because I know the pose you're looking at, because somebody brought it up while we were playing the other day, and I looked it up, and I didn't think it was bad. Like, they did not animate the characters with ridiculous proportions to where it would make that over-sexualized. Like, that's over-sexualization, would be drawing these women in extremely exaggerated positions constantly, as well as exaggerated features. So, like, that's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I thought because I think we had talked about this, like, way, way back when one article came out about, like, the lack of representation and things like that in Overwatch, mm-hmm. you know, like, last year or something like that. And I thought it was completely overblown considering the amount of representation that we've talked about, like, thus far, and the fact that no other game can kind of make this kind of claim of the representation yeah. that they have that's, like, successful. So I thought they were overblown, especially because, like, the next character that was announced after that initial launch was Zyra. So, like, what kind of, like, body type representation statement do you want to make other than, like, we already had these other characters already planned, just, like, let us debut them.
Yeah.
let us say them. Mm-hmm. So, but as a response, like, they started announcing their characters a little bit more quickly. They removed Tracer's victory pose. They took those magazines out of that outhouse, and they put copyright claims on all the major distributors of, like, the Overwatch kind of pornography and things like that. Because after the game was debuted, Pornhub saw a search for Overwatch characters spike 817%.
Of course they did.
Which is this a surprise or something?
I mean, just like the statistics of it. Like, people keep track of this stuff. That's crazy.
I mean, have you seen Hanzo? Like, I'm good on that.
moving on.
Tumblr doesn't help because, you know, everyone's gay and they're all in a relationship together.
True. I didn't even think about, like, I don't even want to go look at, like, the Tumblr.
Scum of the internet.
Tumblr's so bad.
So, but, basically, yeah. From the kind of, like, in the 2 years that Blizzard's been around, we now have 27 characters from that initial 12. And I think they've done a really great job of not only breaking down the history, but kind of when they talk about, when they introduce their characters, not only do they give, like, you an intro video, but they also give you, like, a promo video of what went into their development, what they were thinking about, what they researched when they were kind of researching, like, the backstory and the history of these characters who might not be American. Because, spoiler alert, a lot of these characters aren't American. So they do a lot of research in making sure that things like Kate mentioned earlier, that when they're writing properly. And when they're, you know, yeah, I mean, they just do a really good job at it. I think
so
it's
there's
really
three American characters, right?
Yeah, that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, Reaper, McCree, and Soldier.
Soldier?
Yeah. I guess, I don't know if Winston counts because he was raised by an American, so I guess, like, he might be, like, an American.
He's a gorilla.
But he's an American gorilla. yeah. But even after that, after, like, they've taken kind of, like, their consideration from the fans and things like that, like Ryan was saying, for the game changes, they do it pretty quick, and they kind of, like, let you know why they're doing it. They also introduce new maps and new game modes, new characters. The events are always really fun to play with. So even though I haven't, even if I take, like, you know, a few months off or something like that, every time I come back to the game, there's always something new to play. Especially now, like, now I've come back after maybe, like, 6 months of not playing consistently, and, you know, Mercy is different. There's new maps, there's new characters I'm not familiar with, and it's really refreshing to kind of have that after a long break, because I go back to other games that I haven't played for a long time. They're basically kind of the same. Like, I haven't played...
The Hanzo scatter arrow is finally gone.
Yeah.
And it's, like, also not, like, an overhaul like Smite was.
Yeah, exactly. That was going to be my example. Like, if I haven't played, like, something like Smite or League of Legends, I go back to play it. The game's completely different, and everything's different, and I don't like change. Like, that dramatic change. So Overwatch finds, like, I think, that fine line. So the game is definitely not the same as it was when it was released in 2016, and I doubt it'll be the same this time in 2019. Some final things to kind of wrap up. that I think are really great that they're just now doing is that Overwatch, I guess at the time of this recording, the event will be gone, or at the time of the release of this episode, the event will be gone, but Overwatch is starting to do charity skins, where basically they make a skin for a character, and all the proceeds go to a certain organization. So at the time of this recording, there's a Mercy skin that's up right now for $15, and all the proceeds from that skin that's bought go to the Breast Cancer Research Fund.
Unless you're Sony, unless you take a cut.
Yeah.
A nice 20%.
I mean, yeah. If you're playing on PlayStation, that's like, what do you expect from Sony?
Yeah. The most greatest company, the nicest thing ever. They would never do you wrong, and they care about you and everything.
I don't think you understand how corporations work.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was just speaking from the Sony people's perspective.
So I'm not sure like what other games kind of do this stuff where they kind of like outwardly say like, hey, this is for charity and all the proceeds are going to that. But I think it's really, really great.
I don't think they do. I think yeah. This is the first time I've seen like an in-game charity thing like this. And like specifically all the proceeds, not like a portion.
I know that
I don't think that's true, honestly.
I just don't have any examples to like.
I feel like Ryan. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's not.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I was trying to think of games that. Like, sorry, I'm not sure what other games do it, but I think it's great that it kind of follows our goal of kind of like our overall, you know, point of us doing this podcast is kind of like using our fandom to do good things, and Overwatch is definitely taking that up for sure. And if you follow any of our information on StackUp or anything, the CEO Steven has this. First of all, like he's great to follow on Twitter, first of all. But he's been like floating these pictures around of different skins from his charity organization StackUp, and they look dope. And if his skins are up there next, I'm definitely down to pay scrupulous amounts of money so my money goes to StackUp. Kate, yeah. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I think that they're lobbying Blizzard right now to kind of like get it up and running, which I think would be great because the Red Shirt Raiders, which is their essentially their community where you can go in and find people to play with. It's one of the easiest ways for you to get involved if you're a civilian looking to really give some comfort and just support to vets. And they do, like, I think they're having an Overwatch night tonight, and so they do a lot of Overwatch play and team play and community play, so they really want to get this in the game, one, to help fund the charity, but also to, as kind of like as a service to, like, so many of the members of this organization that play the game and use it as, you know, as a way to build a community at home. And with, you know, their brothers and sisters in arms who have, you know, since dispersed across the United States as a way to stay in touch. And if you don't know, I'm going to play it here. We are actually raising money the entire month of May. When this posts, we'll have about a week left. We're trying to get to $1,000 raised for StackUp during their Call to Arms event, which is for both Mental Health Appreciation Month and Military Appreciation Month. So head on over to our Twitch channel and hit the StackUp logo, and that'll take you to our donation page for them on twitch.tv/butwhythepc. Go do it.
Great. And if you have no idea what StackUp is, go back and listen to our StackUp episode. We'll tell you all about it. Or just at one of us on Twitter, and we'll point you in the right direction. Really, really great organization.
Not going to happen, though.
Let's get into some Fan But Why Those, and then we'll wrap up, and then we'll get out of here so we can go play some Overwatch. So we have a few Fan But Why Those. Our first one is from our patron and great friend.
And lovely blogger.
And lovely blogger, Nico.
I don't think he's a blogger.
Nico at Darth Nikula on Twitter. What started off as a game my brother and I got because it looked cool turned into us playing it for countless hours. It's an enjoyable game that gives us so many characters to choose from. It's a game that you can put on and never get tired of playing. Our next one is from my significant other, my baby, Stefani, at Stefani Hearts on Twitter. It gives you an opportunity to be in any role. The games are so short, I don't immediately get tired of it, which he really does a lot. and as you know, I cosplayed as Widowmaker. So Widowmaker was her first cosplay, and a lot of the recommendations that we got when we were looking for her first cosplay to do was to like go for a character, look up their backstory, and try to embody that character while you're cosplaying. And because of all of the work that Blizzard did to put into her character, like, I don't know if this is a bad thing or a good thing, but she really liked Widowmaker's backstory.
Like, so is she going to kill you? Or
yeah, she's going to basically kill me in my sleep and then become, like, a French sniper, basically. But I don't know if without that backstory, she would have decided to make her first cosplay as Widowmaker. So thank you, my love, for that. But why, though?
I'm plotting your death.
And applauding my death, basically. Hey, I'm going to put something in my wallet that says she did it, if anything ever happens. Our next one is for at Captain Yas 156. Why does it matter? Because it brings friends and people together. We're not winning, but we have a full team and we're having a good time. Blizzard is doing their damnedest to create a family-friendly environment, I believe.
Environment, not family-friendly.
Oh, family.
Yeah, friendly. I was like, I don't think family.
And that environment's never family friendly. I will say that.
I don't know. I've literally, like, this is something that I didn't know if I wanted to put in here, but I've never been, like, on the mic playing by myself in Overwatch.
Teams that we play together in.
They are not family friendly.
Yeah, they are not family friendly.
They're not family friendly. I thought you were talking about, like,
I am a saint.
Brian.
Okay, they create a friendly environment, he believes. I only play Overwatch if it's with friends. So I think it's really great because I don't ever play unless I'm playing with like one of my friends on the Xbox or if Kate says like, hey, same. Let's go play Overwatch. So yeah. I think that's a great, but why they kind of encompasses why this game is so great to play.
Yeah. I will say this, like I haven't, this is the first shooter, like this is what I've come back to because I stopped shooting because of all the voice stuff, which I've talked about before on the podcast. I won't do it again. But it's like the 6-person team has been like really, really great. And I don't think I've played some games by myself, but they were like the arcade games. But, like, the community aspect is amazing. Yeah. And such a big team, you can actually get a lot of people on there.
Mm-hmm. Then you just all yell in your own chat and flame that guy, but he can't hear you, so it's not really flaming. So you have our last fan, but why that was from at Gamey Daddio on Twitter.
I swear, just change your damn name.
This is our good friend Elvis, again, from Stack Up. The story is great since there's room for so much speculation as their backstory and present-day story unfolds as time goes on. Not to mention, it's smooth, looks great, easy to pick up, and rewarding at higher tier gameplay. I feel like that's a personal attack on Kate and myself for not being able to play in higher tier gameplay.
Hey, I just hit that.
I believe that's accurate.
You guys need
to step it up.
So.
Oh, I'm excited to hear how you place after
it's gonna be bad. Replacement matches. It's gonna be bad.
But that's really all I got.
I mean, that right there will determine whether or not I play with you more.
Thanks,
so.
Ryan.
See, and y'all got mad because I hated Rudy. But in the grand scheme of things, this is the whole point, the pinnacle part of life with Rudy.
Nobody wants to play with a bad player.
Exactly.
You're basically Rudy, is what they're trying to tell you.
Thanks. I'll take it. I'm Samwise. So.
Which, sad part is nobody might not get that reference because I don't know when that is actually coming out.
It's after this one.
Yeah, so... Yeah.
Spoilers.
Spoilers for our Lord of the Rings episode. There's a Rudy rant.
Alrighty. Well, that's all I really got, guys. Any final thoughts before we get out of here? Kate?
I didn't think I was going to like it. I did not think I was going to like it. I bought it because there were so many people in our Discord that play it, and I thought I'd give it a shot. And then the first time Elvis at Gaming Daddio was giving me like little bits and pieces of their character backstory as I picked different characters to try and play with, and it was amazing. And so it kind of made me like get more involved in wanting to know more about the world and everything like that. And so then I actually found characters that I was good with and decent with and started playing them. And so I feel a lot better now playing. But I had sworn off shooters. And this is like the first one that I've played that really kind of gets me really, really pumped and really competitive. And I may have like told a couple of people to go F off on my own team.
So you're one of the toxic people.
Yeah, but I don't yell racial slurs. Nerd rage and like hate rage are two different things.
Yeah, I was pretty on the fence about Overwatch. This was kind of post me playing Halo. I'd already sworn off Call of Duty, so there wasn't a whole lot of shooters right then. And I saw a Twitch stream of this, and after like one or two matches, I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to buy this, and Tim and I are going to play it. And that was, you know, 400 hours of gameplay ago. So,
Matt, what can you do?
So if they ever drop the price below $40, I might pick it up, depending on also the integration of a controller on the PC.
You can play it.
I've used a controller on PC. Controller. It works.
Well, I know that, but I'm talking about how well it works.
Don't.
There's
don't
a difference between it works and it works.
Well, just don't play a sniper class. Play Hanzo. Well, along the sniper, kind of.
Yeah, so don't play a sniper class. Play somebody that uses a bow, which is essentially basically a sniper without a scope.
Yeah, pretty much.
Play one of the three snipers. Yeah, that's fine.
Never mind.
That's it. I'm just going to buy you this, Matt. When's your birthday, Matt? Oh, your birthday's in September like mine.
Yeah, I'll chip in $10 to help you get this game.
Yeah, we do Overwatch nights, guys.
Happy anniversary week. I'm going to buy you Overwatch.
Yeah. So yeah, if the game price was cheaper, I probably would.
Beats free, Matt?
I mean, obviously free. I'm not opposed. I will play it if I have it.
We can do community. We can do community play night.
Did you say community, Kate?
Yeah.
Matt, I want to say either this weekend or next weekend for the anniversary event, it is free to play.
Community game nights. Come on, guys. Join our
Usually
Discord.
Usually it's free to play during the anniversary events.
Yeah. Hopefully it's next weekend.
It is.
And for me, I mean, I'm a bit of a Blizzard fanboy when it comes to like their games, mainly because I played World of Warcraft for so long, and then also just because our track record of just kind of taking over genres of games is so good that I thought, hey, if we're going to do a shooter, we've been waiting for them to do a shooter for years, let's see how it goes. And I just kind of fell in love with it. I think the backstories are great. I love the way they do the backstories. If you listen to the podcast before, if you listen to our Star Wars books episode, I love background story and going to find background story because it makes me kind of feel more invested in the game. That's how I've just always been. So being able to go watch 2-hour videos of shorts is something I'm totally okay with. Gives you a diverse cast of characters to play with, which I think is fantastic and kind of unmatched in that regard. Gives people lots of really great ideas for cosplay. Some of my favorite cosplays now used to be League of Legends cosplays, but now I think Overwatch has kind of taken that mantle over as really, really dope cosplays. And if you're playing on the PC or if you're on the Xbox, you can come play with me and Ryan. But if you're on the PC, you know, come holler at us. We'll
come
play
with
together.
Me, Ryan, and Kate. Or
yeah,
you, Ryan, and me.
What?
Yeah.
I woke up from a nap right before
Words
we
are
recorded
hard.
This.
That was 2 hours ago.
Shh.
I mean, I'll be honest. So, like, when we picked this episode, I didn't think that it would last nearly this long. So if you thought this was going to be a short episode, I'm sorry.
I promised
but I
Ryan
think
it, 45 minutes because that's all I thought it was going to be.
So honestly, I think we were fine, but then we decided we were going to read all 27 characters.
But you have to. It's the major part of the game. And I think that's like the meat of why this game is so cool is the characters. The story is cool, but like once you get the story and the characters put together, I think it creates a complete game without having a campaign, which I think is awesome. And that's all I got.
Tell them why don't you tell everybody where they can find you and your podcasts?
Okay, so you can find me online at Twitter at RPCappy, and you can find me on Xbox, PlayStation, Steam, Blizzard at Captain Cappy. You can find me on GoombaStomp.com, where I host two podcasts, one which is Game Boys, and it is all about co-op and multiplayer gaming, and then another called The Fire Keepers, which is all about the Dark Souls franchise, and so we are playing through all the Souls games, and I am currently streaming through Dark Souls at twitter.tv/TheFireKeepersPodcast. Yep, that's twitch.tv/TheFireKeepersPodcast.
That's right, get all your stuff in there.
Yep, I will link it all. Okay, awesome. So, thanks everybody for sitting through this episode. Thank you, Ryan, for joining us and imparting your Overwatch wisdom and love.
Thanks,
with
Ryan.
Us. Say thanks, Adrian.
Yeah, no, I was definitely going to. Thanks for coming on, Ryan. I really appreciate it. I think this would have just been me and Kate talking to each other for an hour and a half. But with you here, we got some great conversation, and it makes me really excited to play Overwatch after we're done talking.
Yeah.
So as always, you can find the podcast at ButWhyThoughPC on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/ButWhyThoughPC. And if you want to support us a little more, head on over to Patreon and patreon.com/ButWhyThoughPC. And starting at $1, you get early episodes, research notes, and a whole bunch of goodies as you move up on from there. As for me, you can find me at OhMyMythRandir on Twitter. Adrian?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at SuperReuse93, SuperRuiz93. And if you want to come play with Overwatch on Xbox. You can find me at Darth Boomstick with 3 O's. Hint, hint, Ryan.
I already added you as a friend, and I'm just waiting to hear back.
Xbox is terrible with like, their friend request things. Just in like the messages.
Adrian. Sure.
I don't want to get spammed. This is why
nobody ever listens to Matt's exit sign off.
Last time I was in a message, I got banned. So it's
you did.
Not going there.
Also,
Adrian is the toxic community.
Just because you told some family to go get diabetes.
So first of all, it was just his mom. And he had insta-kinked me for no reason. And was a total Loot. Jerk about it.
Loot was the reason.
He's a jerk.
Okay, Matt, where can we find you?
Well, one, you wouldn't get kicked, but Kate had to go to the bathroom. And so we couldn't use her vote. And therefore, you did get kicked.
We played in the same room!
Yeah, that really seems like you could have just walked over to the controller and voted in Adrian's favor.
She took the controller with her to the
restroom. No, I did not!
I don't believe that.
Do you want to tell them
That's
where they can
exactly
find you?
That's exactly what
happened. No, you can't save yourself. Tell them where they can find you.
You can't save myself. I didn't get banned. So I may not play the game, but I do the research, and you can find me in Junkertown.
That's where I think I would find you, actually.
Yeah, I do, too. Okay, awesome. Bye, guys. Thank you.